It's wonderful to be here, isn't it? Wonderful to come into the presence of the Lord in his house like this together. Of course, over the last year, we've been able to be in our own places and been able to come to the Lord there, but it's good to gather together. So would you bow your heads now as we pray one with another? Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have conquered sin and death for us. Thank you for your victory. And we meet this morning with joy in our hearts to meet together, but we meet with you, our risen Lord, and we meet to celebrate what you have done for us. May we know your joy in our hearts. May we know your presence as we gather together. And even as we go out from this place, may we take that joy, that peace, and your presence with us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this place. And we thank you for this encounter, this moment in time with you. Risen, ascended, glorified Lord, we thank you that you are here by your Spirit. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through what we sing and hear being sung. And may you have the glory, honor, and praise from our lives and from this gathering together, this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read to you from Mark's Gospel and chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." May the Lord bless that reading to our hearts on this special day.
Do you know what happened that Easter day? What they saw made them forget what he said. They saw the blood. They saw the evidence of the flogging. They saw where the spear was thrust into his side. They saw the body distorted, and then they saw it grow cold and laid out for burial. And they saw it placed in a tomb. And they saw a stone, you just heard it, a stone rolled against the entrance of the tomb. But they forgot what he said. What he said is what changes everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and that wonderful bit, and hearing comes by the word of God. Always in the fight, in the conflict, there's always this war between what you see and what you hear. And the message of Easter is about he has done something so remarkable, but it was what he promised. It was what he said. It was what he wanted to have happen. That's what he told Peter. That's what he told all of them in that upper room. And so what happened? You had angels making a seat out of the rock. And they are the ones who moved the stone out of the way. And did you hear the words in the songs we've already had? He is risen. And so the name of Jesus becomes very powerful everywhere. Let me say something to you. You may not be fully able to understand and explain all the ins and outs of the resurrection, but you can't deny it. tremendous evidence is recorded of all those appearances. But here's the issue. The greatest was the change in the disciples. They became an irresistible force in changing their world. And here you are this morning. And I want you to understand and realize afresh, because of this day, because he is risen, you too, in all the limitations that we have, in all the feebleness at times, you and I together, we too will become an irresistible force to change our world and to tell it the message of hope and forgiveness and favor and blessing. We want you to be blessed here today. I don't know whether you read these little notes, but the guy points out, the writer points out, when her dad was always singing a song, how he comes to the garden alone, and they sang it at his funeral. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. And you know that. May that be your blessing. May that be the thing that stirs you on your way. We're going to do something different in a moment for the sermon. We're going to divide it into two. There'll be no evening service here, which would have been our usual day. So the morning message, well, Andrew will bring it. And the evening, I'll bring it. So that's how the message will go.
Just after sunrise. Just after sunrise. Three words that pinpoint the time, physically and spiritually. For the S-U-N rising marked the S-O-N rising. The Marys and Salome had been witnesses of the agony of the cross, and now came to that quiet stillness of the garden tomb. We're told, as I read, that they arrived as early as possible. They fulfilled the legal requirements when the Passover was over. They had to wait for the time to anoint Jesus' body. And they fulfilled a loving act. They brought spices at no expense to themselves so that they might anoint Jesus' body. They did this as early as possible on what we know as Easter Sunday morning. Now, I want to put before you this morning very briefly three challenges. And here's the first Easter challenge. Are you doing what you can for Jesus? Wherever, whenever, are you doing what you can? After a year of lockdown, perhaps, you think, well, what can we do? We've had so many restrictions put upon ourselves. But as we try to remind you with the church at home through the year, you know, maybe something you could do for a neighbour. Now you could invite somebody into your garden to have a chat. And of course, you can be praying, using the time in prayer. Easter challenge number one. Can we be like Mary, the Marys and Salome, and do what we can for Jesus? It may cost us. We may be doing different things to other people, but our focus, let it be upon Jesus. Now, we're all familiar, I'm sure, with the modern-day crime scene scenario. You know, they put that tape around, don't they, with police written on it, and they restrict access. They keep the crime site as it is. Nobody can go in, nobody can go anywhere near. And the policeman often will say, nothing to see here, on your way, nothing to see here. People don't believe it, of course, they stand and watch and stare. Nothing to see here. The stone had barred access to the grave, but now the way was open. Yet the entrance to the tomb revealed, well, nothing to see here. They saw the stone, these ladies, And then they saw an angel. And then they saw where Jesus had been lain. But they didn't see him. They came only to see him. But they saw these other things instead. What they'd expected to see was not there. Challenge number two, Easter challenge number two. David's already mentioned it. It's very good when the Lord confirms alongside message. We walk by faith, not by sight. They were having to remember what had been said. They had to apply their faith to the words Jesus had spoken, and indeed what the prophets had spoken as well. What they saw didn't quite match up to what they expected to see. And I guess that's all our experience at times, isn't it? Life's not always what we thought it would be. Even as Christians, sometimes things are not quite the way we saw them going. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. The wonderful thing about that verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It goes on then to say, we are confident. Well, Paul says, we are confident because we're walking by faith, not by sight. We are confident, not timid, not, well, we've had a few setbacks and a few knockbacks. So no, we go forward in faith. That's Easter challenge number two. They didn't see what they expected to see, but they had and did see God's power. Why was this stone where it is now? Why has the stone moved? The stone which was very large, says verse 4, had been rolled away. How had this happened? They saw something of God's power in that moment. And even as we wander around in these strange times, just look around you. Look at God's power in our world. Look at his creation. Look at all that's there. Just walking down this morning, hearing the birds sing. You know, it's only a little thing, but it's a positive from the lockdown. More birds around, more bird song, more of what God has made on display. See God at work today and thank him for it. They were reminded of God's promises. The Son of Man will be delivered into your hands, to the hands of sinful men, and be crucified on the third day, Jesus told them. And on the third day he will be raised again. It was too much for them to take in. But just as he told you, the angel underlined the fact that they must walk by faith. They must believe what Jesus has said. And so it's so good that we can be back together to hear God's unchanging truth. And God willing, we'll be doing that week by week now. We've been doing it at church at home, but we're going to hear more and more of God's word together. But we must be a believing people. And they were guided into God's purposes. They saw God's power and God's promise in the words of Jesus. And they were guided into God's purposes. Go into Galilee, and there you will see him. We want to see Jesus in our community. We want to see him at work in our lives, in our world. Well, we have to go by faith, and we will see him as we entrust ourselves to him. He is alive. He has risen. But he hasn't just risen to stand there looking pretty. He is active. He has gone on ahead of you, says the angel. Get to Galilee. You're already behind where you should be. Our Lord is active, alive and active. And so the third challenge this morning, what difference will it make to you this Easter day? What difference will it make in what lies ahead for you? What is your response to that first Easter morning? Aren't you glad he's overcome death? That there is eternal life? Our very faith hinges on this day, on this moment in history. Without it, we have a good man who died on a cross. But with it, we have assurance of sins forgiven and the promise of eternal life. Paul says to the Corinthians, in stressing to them the need to get hold of this, he says, if Jesus only died for us and wasn't raised, he says, you're still in your sins. And those who've fallen asleep in Christ are lost. What a hopeless situation. But then he confirms, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And so this day has an impact for our eternal future, eternal life, through our faith, our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that he goes before you? What is life? It's very uncertain, it's very unsure. But we have a Saviour, a risen Saviour, who goes before us to face our days as we arrive at them. He's there with us. From Galilee, they went to Jerusalem, and from there, they went into the world with the good news. In the power of the Holy Spirit, their feeble faith became strong, their little understanding became greater, and their fear became a ferocious boldness. As David said, it's an evidence of the resurrection. Their lives were turned completely upside down. And this same Lord and Saviour and King, King Jesus, goes before us in our mission, church, in what we have to do. Aren't you glad he is with us? We're glad to be together, but he's with us by his Spirit. We are Easter people every day. I know it's nice to celebrate on one day, but this is for every day. I am with you always, said Jesus, to the very end of the age. Three Easter challenges. You've all heard of the triathlon, haven't you? Heard of the triathlon? Swimming, cycling, running. And you may have heard of two brothers, Johnny and Alistair Brownlee. Do you know those names? They represented Great Britain in the Olympics, did very well, still do very well for us. I want to mention two other brothers in closing this part who you will not have heard of. Noah and Lucas Aldrich. They are from the USA. They are not Olympians because at the time when this happened, they were 8 and 6. But they were inseparable brothers. And they entered a triathlon, a mini triathlon for their age. I know about this because I read an article about it, and this was the headline. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. 8-year-old boy carries disabled brother through triathlon. That's the story. Little Lucas, as a degenerative, easy for me to say, genetic neurological condition. But he plays with his brother, and his brother wanted to do this, and he wanted his little brother to go with him. And so together, they did it a few years ago now, 4 years ago. A 200-meter swim, he pulled him along in a boat, a little dinghy. A bike ride, I'm not quite sure how they did that, but something was arranged. And the one-mile run, well, turned into a one-mile push, of the one brother pushing his other brother over the finish line. It took 54 minutes, and they completed their mini triathlon. And I thought about the challenges that I threw out to you at the beginning. And then I thought about our heavenly brother, Lord and King Jesus Christ. He will help us. He will enable us to meet those challenges. We may feel disabled with doubts and fears this morning, yet he will carry us through these things. Do what you can for Jesus, said the pastor. Where do you start? What can I do? Well, ask the Lord. Let him be with you and guide you and get you through that part of the triathlon. Walk by faith. Well, again, when you don't understand, just cast all your cares and burdens upon the Lord. And live in the light of his resurrection and power. How can we do this? How can we live this life without him? Thankfully, we don't need to, because he's right there with us and for us. With Jesus' help and by his Spirit, we can meet these challenges. this Easter morning. Take time to focus, yes, on God's power, God's promises and God's purposes. And having done all that, don't be overwhelmed, but focus on your resurrected Lord, Saviour, friend, one who sticks closer than a brother, who will carry us through. David.
Some years ago, we had a very thriving youth group. We wanted to raise some money, so we did a walk. Way past South End, then along the seafront, until we got where we turned around and came all the way back. Two men took a walk. The end of the day, that kind of day Andrew's been talking about. It's a long, long, dusty road, 7 miles. And they were feeling the pressure of what for them was an intolerable burden. Along with their friends, they'd betrayed their master. There'd been cowardice, there'd been unreliability, there'd been all sorts of things. And the cross, Friday. They had thought he was the Messiah, and he'd been crucified. And it seemed senseless, because Jesus had raised the dead. He'd cast out demons, he'd stilled the stormy waters. He had fed 5,000 with just some little loaves and a couple of fish. Why couldn't he have avoided the crucifixion? Why couldn't he have foiled the plans of his enemies? And then the body's gone. Others said he was alive. But we just heard what they heard, that the tomb was empty. And there's no explanation for all of this. And they're talking about it. And they're walking along. Sad, disillusioned, disappointed. Just like so many of us. Man, am I disappointed and disillusioned with what we've done this past year as a nation. And how the church has just seemed to fritter away. What was happening? Their hearts were broken by everything that happened to them. And that's when Jesus came. And you know why? Because he mends broken hearts. Oh, there were those mistakes. He opened the scriptures to them. He preached about himself to them from the scriptures. Took all those promises. And in a way was trying to say to them, hey, you missed it. You missed it. You failed to. He saw the pain. He saw how upset they were. Not only had they failed to understand the promises, they failed to understand the great plan of salvation. All the way through the scriptures, it has been unfolding. How Jesus would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, you know, Isaiah 53. And when they seized him and the soldiers brutally beat him and attacked him and crucified him. Hey, that's the message of the gospel. That he's the Savior on the cross, giving his life for our sin. I'll tell you another thing. When my heart is broken, just like their heart is broken, I fail to grasp what the scriptures say. I fail to grasp the plan that God is bringing into my life and my circumstances. But there was something more here. They didn't sense the presence of Jesus. Got it? Their eyes were heavy, it says. in Luke 23. So they didn't recognize him. Been with him for 3 years. He had never come to them in this way before. Let me say something to you. He's never come to us this way in a pandemic before. But he's been here. He's been where you are. He's been there for you. And if you missed him, I want to tell you this morning, go home with him. You see? Because all Jesus did was he opened the scriptures, he opened their understanding. And there'll be a moment. I have to tell you this. The house, obviously it seemed the house where they lived was over there. You've got to go that way. And they came to this junction point here. And it says in the scripture, he made out as if he would go further. He was going to go that way. But they lived that way. And with their broken heart, they said, would you come with us? Would you come with us? They invited Jesus right on this crossroad to make a turn, to come their way. And you know, this morning, he's made the turn. He wants to come your way. And something happened. It was so simple. He took some bread. Hey, it's their house. It's their house. But he acted like he was the host. He took the bread and he broke it. Hold out your hand, Tash. And when he went to put it into their hand, what did they see? They saw the nail print where it was driven right through here. And this is what they said. Did not our hearts burn? So the broken heart became the burning heart. You see, it was a remarkable discovery. And that can happen to us. Right at this very moment, all that is required is that you and I seize the moment and allow our broken heart, because of the pandemic, because of 1,001 other things, our broken heart to become a burning heart. You see, it's the most significant thing of all. It made them change direction. You just heard a challenge here before. They have to change direction. They're going to go another way. They go and walk another 7 miles. But this time, they got the power, they got the energy, they got the dynamic. And what were they looking for? Why have they turned around? Why are you going another 7 miles? Because they were seeking out the brothers and the sisters, the fellow Christians, back there in Jerusalem. And they've gone to meet with others. All sense of isolation has gone. Being on their own, it's gone. No longer their personal likes or dislikes. And my way is going to be our way. Because the burning heart is a blessing to others. And to bless others, you and I have to be blessed. So this Easter morning, with the challenges ringing from the early morning, it's my turn now to say, well, it's the late part of the day. But you see that? We only know the name of one of them, Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other. Cleopas? Is that you? And he's jumping. His heart is on fire with his brother. And the pair of them are so excited and so energized. We met him. He talked with us along the way. And our hearts, our broken hearts, became burning hearts. And if your heart has been broken through the weeks, the months, whoever would have dreamed we would have been more than a year? Mine's been broken. Again and again, I've had to take folk to their final resting place. I've lost contact with friends. I have a sister who had a fall. She's now damaged. She'll be 80 in a week's time. But she'll never speak properly again. And I couldn't go see her. I still can't go see her. Nor can my brother. Because we can't cross the barrier back into Wales. And who sets your heart on fire? None other than the one who will walk alongside you, who will be with you, who will change things for you, who will remind you of the possibilities that are yours as you trust him and walk his way. We are going to conclude with thine be the glory. Pray with me. Father, I ask your blessing upon your people as we leave this place. Blessed so that we can become a blessing for every life situation or circumstance that threatens to break us. Take our broken hearts and turn them into burning hearts. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, lift the light of his countenance upon you, grant you now and always to be his peace, and take you into this coming week, whatever the circumstance, the situation, blessed so that you will be a blessing. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.